Today we had Miss Calm with us, and if you'd like to learn more about our Princess Penelope of Westell, continue listening.
How many schools have you worked at?
Including Westell, 5.
What is your favorite school that you have worked at?
Westell. That's why I stayed 29 years.
What made you choose Westell?
I was working in downtown Indianapolis, and I was driving an hour to work, and I didn't like the atmosphere or the levels of Spanish that I was teaching. And I found this school had an opening in the middle of the school year, which is very unusual for a foreign language teacher. And there you go.
How was your first year at Westell compared to now?
Not much has really changed. I love it. I love the students. The community is incredible. And the people that I teach with and work with are amazing. So I absolutely love it. It's my home.
How many years have you been working at Westell?
29. This is my 29th year.
If you could give one piece of advice to any teacher, what would it be?
Slow down, which I think that's funny for me because I go pretty fast, but I wish a lot of times I would have slowed down to listen, slowed down to learn, slowed down to contemplate things after they happened or before they happened.
What's been your favorite year working at Westell?
Could you repeat that, please?
What's been your favorite year working at Westell?
I can't say that. I've absolutely loved them all. I really have. I don't think COVID year was one of my highlights because I'm not an electronic teacher, and that was really hard. So I could say that was my most unfavorite. But I have a favorite. I just love them all. They're great.
Do you think Westell has changed over the years since you first came?
In the sense of community and the kids and the clientele that is around, no. I think the building has obviously undergone some fantastic changes with the field house and the paint and the turf field and things like that. So I think the facility has changed, but I think the family feel of Westell that I have come to know and love and be a part of, gratefully, has not changed.
Do you feel respected by the students and staff of Westell?
I do. I think there was a little bit of a glitch when I decided to retire from the classroom but was still in the building. I think that was kind of hard for some of my students. And I actually had a student ask me, how can you be here and not teach us, Mrs. Cullum? And I just looked at them and I said, when you've done a job for 33 years, come and talk to me. I think you'll know how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think it's helped that I'm still here in some capacity. So that was a little hard, but we've gotten over that and gone forward.
What was your favorite part of teaching?
Just letting the kids be open to the experiences that I had of how a life can open up when you learn a different language. The travel, the people, emergency procedures, careers are enhanced when you learn a foreign language. And that was my favorite part, to share that. Did I love the students? I absolutely, I did. I didn't teach 9 months a year and just 5 days a week. I taught all year long because I loved my students and cared for them. And when they had problems, I had problems too because I cared for them. And I still care for them. I care for all the kids that come in the office. So that's probably my favorite part, is making those relationships last a lifetime. I mean, I still have kids I taught, 20 years ago that were still in touch. And so that's a wonderful thing about Westell.
What led you into learning Spanish?
My teacher. My teacher was named Ken Steve, and I believe he may still be teaching one Spanish class at Cathedral High School. And he knows that every year I thank him, and I thank my high school swim coach, Kurt Haas, for what they did for me, because they taught me how to dream. They taught me how to set goals. They taught me the importance of standing up for yourself, but being willing to listen and just driving hard. They modeled that for me. Coach Haas was not only my swim coach, but he was my PE teacher too. And I just fell in love with the language and the way that Mr. Steve taught. He was absolutely hysterical. He would throw erasers kids and get away with it. And I thought, now that'd be kind of fun. And so I never threw an eraser at a kid. I threw a kid, but that's something different. We'll talk about later. Maybe. No, I didn't. But they modeled good teaching for me. And there wasn't a thing that they asked of me to do in the classroom or the pool that they weren't working that hard themselves. And it made me work harder, and it made me who I am, definitely. So I credit them, both of them. They're just outstanding men of education, and I had that great role model.
Why did you stop teaching? Was there any, like, big reasons?
You know, that's a great question, and I've been asked that a lot, Amaya. I think the main reason is you're welcome to call this a cop-out. I believe it's the truth, and so that's not a cop-out. I couldn't compete with electronics anymore. I didn't want to. I'm not an electronic person. I believe in hands-on. I believe pen and paper work great with language learning, and I could enthrall a class with my travels for where I'd been, but when they can press a button and see where I've been in 30 seconds, it loses something. And so I found out that they didn't love the language and the travel and the experiences as much as I love them. And before that got taken from me, I was going to withdraw. And I did.
What made you want to become the secretary at Westdale?
God, because I actually had a whole different avenue that I thought I was going to travel. I thought that when Mrs. Baldwin retired, I was going to become the athletic secretary, and actually had worked on that for almost 6 months prior to having that first year of retirement, and we had worked out things together. And then all of a sudden, the front secretary didn't like that job and left that position, so I had to fill in up there. And when I subbed and went home from that position, I began to like it more and more. And then I was like, I really like this. And then when the person left completely, they said, we have to have you up here. We don't have anybody else. And I knew within about 3 weeks after that, that was the job I was going to have, which was difficult because I didn't want to have Mr. Denny feel like I didn't want to work with him. And he never said that. But the fit for me with people and being in front and knowing Westdale like I do, it was natural. I had three very, very dear friends, two of my sisters and one former teacher, as well as I think Miss Baldwin, too, was praying for me about, you know, just that decision. It was very hard because I had always thought I would be a great athletic secretary because of my love for sports and my knowledge of it. But then when I kept working the front, I was like, this is really fun, and I really like how fast it moves, and there's never any downtime, and it's like playing whack-a-mole all day long, and that's really fun for my personality, as you can imagine. So it just, about 3 weeks later, I had made the decision, and it was clear from then on. Yeah.
What is the hardest part about being the secretary?
The hardest part for me is having to put people on wait. I like to solve problems immediately. I've learned that weight is very important in my job, and I didn't think it was at the beginning. I don't have to answer the doorbell on the first ring. It's okay to not answer the phone on the second ring. It's okay to de-escalate a situation by just having someone wait. If you'll just sit here and wait, we'll take care of that. Instead of, I'll take care of that right now, let's get on this. There's benefits in waiting, and that's the most important thing I've learned is waiting. And that's hard for me because I'm a quick problem solver. Let's go and we'll deal with that later. It's someplace that I believe I've grown in this job in 2 years of, it's okay, just wait a second. We'll take care of it.
Where all have you traveled?
I've been very blessed to travel ever since I started teaching. So for about 33 years, we traveled every other year. So we've been blessed to be in Italy, France, Spain, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Austria, Africa, Germany, England, Ireland, Scotland. I've actually been a lot of places. And yet I haven't been out west to see the Redwoods. So I've done a lot of traveling overseas. I've not traveled stateside. And that's what I hope to do now that my husband is retired and I, in the summers, is travel stateside. But I think my love for overseas travel was very influential to my students because I could bring back to the classroom how to travel overseas, how to prepare for that. Because, you know, you never know when your job might ask you to go overseas. So I can teach you how to do that and what that looks like. And literally, we took probably 15 trips overseas with students. We probably had a total of 250, 300 kids travel with us over those years. But that's what our language teachers did for us. Mr. Steve took us to Mexico, a group of us to Mexico, and my husband's French teacher took them to France. And so that's how we became in love with the language. So that's what we wanted to give back to our students, was that ability to do that. So we've had a great deal of travel, been very blessed, very safe.
So do you think you're always going to travel?
I don't think I'll travel as much overseas. If I get the chance, that's great. But like I said, I have not seen America. And like I said, I haven't been west of Illinois. So I'd like to maybe do that, so. But yes, I think I'll always travel. I enjoy traveling.
Why did you want to travel?
I think you can get so stuck in your community and your routine that you forget what's out there. And we have incredible natural resources and resources overseas that are ancient. You have cathedrals in Spain and France and all over Europe that have stood for 1,000 years, and they're still as beautiful as they ever will be. And so to see that and to see those magnificent structures is wonderful, as well as seeing Zion National Park and the Grand Canyon. Those are things that you don't get. So your world opens up so that when you come back, you can have more conversations with people. Have you ever traveled here? Oh, you have. So have I. What did you think about this? And sharing. It's like learning a language. Traveling is a language. You open up your world, and it's not just Delaware County and four sides to a square. You can do more and see more, and it gets you out of your shell. You have to face some situations when you travel that are like not in the grocery store at Meijer. And so it's really fun to extend yourself and see, wow, I can do that now. And it just grows and grows from there.
Why do you enjoy traveling?
I really think for the reasons I said. Someone asked me one time, if you could go to Spain and live and stay there forever, would you? And I said, no, I love America. And I know this is my home. My home is Indiana. But I enjoyed living there for 6 months. Absolutely enjoyed. I cried as hard to leave Spain as I did going there because I was afraid. I had never been overseas, never left my twin, never left my family. And here I am going to study overseas without any of them there. So I just enjoy traveling because of what it has done for me as a person. And I always tell kids, if you get that chance to travel, whether it's in a job or you can take a semester abroad in school, do that, because it looks so great on a resume that you got out of your standard world and allowed the boundaries to fall and allowed yourself to grow that way. It's a huge game changer for a life.
What is the Camino?
The Camino is a 500-mile trail from the border of France across the northern part of Spain. It's a pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage is starting at one place and going to a holy place. And the holy place that the Camino of Santiago takes you to is the burial place of St. James, which was one of the apostles of Christ. He actually is buried there. His remains are there. So people take a pilgrimage for healing, for rest, for rejuvenation, for prayer, for solitude, to all the way across the 500 miles. And that's across the mountains. That's across the Pyrenees Mountains. They think that the Pyrenees is the last high place, but I'm here to tell you that there's another high place at the end that we had to climb to. So that was it. But that's what it is. It's a pilgrimage. It's one of the four pilgrimages in the world. The Cathedral of Santiago is a holy place, so that's why they go there.
Why did you want to walk the Camino?
Because I had satisfied all of my goals here. And I, in fact, did not even know about the Camino until somebody, and this was, oh gosh, I'll be 59 this year. So we're talking about 15 years ago. Yeah, thanks for those eyebrows raised. That means I look okay. Anyway, but when I was 35, I made it a goal to run walk 12 half marathons and 5 full marathons, 13.1 miles in the half marathon and 26.2 in the full. And after I did that, which I thank God for that, then I was like, well, I don't know what to do now. And somebody said, haven't you ever heard of the Camino? You should do that because you like the outside. Your kids are in scouts. You love the outside. You love hiking. So you should do this. And I was like, what's that? I did not know anything about it. So I started studying it, brought it into my classroom. Probably the best thing I've ever done in my classroom, to tell you the truth, is to get those kids to see that. And then I just decided, you know, I'm going to try to do this, whether I do the whole 500 miles or whatever. But that's how I got into it. I was like, I ran out of goals. And then when we got postponed by the trip that I was supposed to go to because of COVID, then I made another goal to hike all the state parks in Indiana. So I hiked all 25 state parks in Indiana. That was really a lot of fun over one school year. So I feel like I'm a better person when I have a goal. I know I function better. My mind is sharper. I'm more driven. And so that became my goal. I'm going to get to the Camino. I had no idea it'd take me 8 years to get there, believe me.
Have you only hiked it one time?
Correct. And that was, I only did the 100 miles. I want to classify that. I joined a group called, what are they called? They're called I'll Push You, the Accessible Camino. And I was chosen out of a group of applicants to push, pull, and lift a group of limited mobility people, people in wheelchairs, whether they were quadriplegic or just had another incapable of doing the Camino themselves, another disability that would render them incapable. And we were able to pair up with them and push, pull, and lift them over 100 miles. So we did 100 miles in 6 days, and it was hard. It's the hardest thing athletically, second to one thing that I did swimming, but it was hot. It was 89, 90 degrees, and you're talking about 17 hard miles a day for 6 days in a row. It was a lot, but oh my gosh, I had so much fun. Yeah, so much fun. But I only did the last 100 miles, and that's what you have to do to classify to be a pilgrim. In order to get a certificate that you are a pilgrim and you have hiked the Camino, you have to hike the last 100 miles, which is from a city called Sarria all the way to Santiago de Compostela. So, yeah.
So how do you switch from being so calm and patient to hyper and energetic so quickly and, like, on instant, like...
Oh, okay, that's a great question. I think if I could bottle that, I would be a billionaire because it's kind of fun to do. But I have always said, well, it's always been labeled that I'm like a jack of all trades and a master of none. I sing, and I sing okay, but I don't sing, you know, like whatever, somebody that you would know, Beyonce or something. And I, you know, and I hike, but I'm not a triathlon. And I, you know, I teach Spanish, but I'm not, you know, the world's greatest teacher. So it's like, I do love a smattering of things. And because of my time with students and learning to read them, I'm very able to read a situation or what they call read a room and can adapt to whatever that needs to be. You know, was I always that way? No. But the longer you're in the profession, you can realize what to do. And I believe that I can switch on a dime to being the happy-go-lucky, to being the teacher look and, you know, guns at dawn or whatever you want to say, because of the practice that I've had as a performer, because I have done some performing. So you just know what the situation calls for and what's going to work. I was never a teacher who would scream at a classroom and yell. I never did that. In fact, probably asked one of my students who had me for 4 years in a row, they probably maybe heard me get loud maybe three times, once a year maybe. And you really had to push my buttons to get me there. I didn't send kids to the office. I dealt with it myself. I made something laughable with humor instead of angry, because nobody wins when there's anger. Nobody does. I didn't win. My class atmosphere didn't win. And the person who was getting in trouble didn't win. It was a lose-lose situation. So I chose humor that way. But I can read a situation and say, you know, we need to change with this. So a lot of it's my age. A lot of it's the years that I've had in education. And it's really, it actually is kind of fun to be able to switch on a dime, because you never know where somebody's going to come from. And that's kind of fun.
Okay, now we're going to do a 45-second rapid-fire
question. I can't wait for this. Here we go. Okay. Now, what I just have to say what first thing comes to my mind or something? Mm-hmm. Okay.
How long do you think you can survive a zombie apocalypse?
Like less than a day, probably. I'll probably be scared. I don't think so. That's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that. Okay, go.
How many pets do you have?
None.
What's your favorite color?
Black. It makes me look thin.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Right here in Muncie.
What's your favorite? What's a food you refuse to eat?
Liver and onions. Won't do it.
If you could ride any zoo animal, what would it be?
If I could
ride any
a dolphin.
If you could be any age forever, what would it be?
I don't know. I loved every age. I really have loved every age. I thought 35 was really good.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how good of a cook are you?
-5.
What is your favorite food?
Everything, except liver and onions.
Time's up. Thank you, Mrs. Conley.
20 Questions is a production of Westdale Warrior Cast, recorded in the podcast center located in room C10 of Westdale Middle High School, nestled in the rural surroundings of Gaston, Indiana. You can listen to all podcasts produced by Westdale Warrior Cast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you find your podcasts. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at westdalewarriorcast@gmail.com. You can also find Westdale Warrior Cast on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Thanks for listening.